overall, when you look at the overview data, including the chemotherapy versus control original studies, what has been seen in terms of correlation of estrogen receptor status and impact?
This is a point that was really hotly debated. And the debate centered around whether or not ER was a predictor of particular responsiveness in those patients. This is somewhat complicated by the fact that you really have to, in those first-generation trials, take into account age. And that's because if you're comparing chemotherapy to nothing in young patients, you're seeing not only the cytotoxic effects, but the effects that are due to ovarian ablation in those patients or suppression. So in young patients, ER did not make a difference. And I think that was probably because in the young patients, the ER-positive patients may have had a little less responsive to the cytotoxic effects, but they're getting actually adjuvant endocrine effects as well. So it brings them up. The ER-negative patients and positive patients who were older, however, there did seem to be a difference, at least to my eye. And that is that the ER-positive patients did get benefit, but the benefit was smaller than the ER-negative patients. It was about a 2-to-1 difference. I think that ER is something that is important in therapy, but that its importance is more obvious in the older patients than in the younger patients. Now, that being said, that is the benefit of a regimen compared to nothing. And what I've said about the taxanes is that these regimens were never compared to nothing. They were compared to a regimen that already had caused ovarian ablation in a lot of the patients that were going to experience ovarian ablation. So in those patients, the effects in older and younger patients appeared pretty equal. And irrespective of ER appeared pretty equal, which to me is a little bit of a surprise because I might have expected, you know, that the ER negative patients would have been a little bit more chemosensitive than the ER positive patients. And in fact, what appeared irrespective of age, ER status, was that if anything, the taxanes looked maybe a little bit more effective in the ER positive patients.
I'm sure there are quite a few Europeans there, and we have this whole St. Gallen approach that Martine Piccart talked about at the San Antonio meeting. How did they respond to these data? It seems like it refutes a little bit their contention that chemotherapy is not very effective in ER-positive patients.
I think that a lot of people were surprised, and there wasn't a lot of debate. But I think from my view, it was very important not to overly generalize. And that is that you might draw one conclusion when you were comparing chemotherapy versus nothing, and a very different conclusion when you were saying, how could we improve on a therapy? The way that process goes on is that there are a very large number of analyses presented and kind of Kaplan-Meier curves. And to be honest, it's somewhat overwhelming. And you're, in the end, given hundreds of pages of analyses. Right now, I'm actually just spending a lot of time in the evenings looking at all these analyses, making up my own slides from them. And sometimes doing that, you actually notice interesting things that were missed in the rush of the data as it was presented.
So would it be fair to conclude that in essence, this finding sort of contradicts the Don Barry analysis?
In a way, it does. I think I've heard people state, and I think it's a big inaccuracy, that ER-positive patients, they just don't benefit from therapy, particularly if they're older, and these patients shouldn't be treated with chemotherapy. And I think that that's an oversimplification. I think that it's very important to recognize that those patients do benefit. They may benefit a little bit less. And I will say one thing about them benefiting less. If you're using a first-generation regimen, they actually benefit dramatically less. But if you're using, say, a second-generation regimen that's being compared to a first-generation regimen, but you're thinking about it as the totality of the effect, you know, if you add an equal amount to benefit to both the ER-positive and negative patients, that totality of an effect might be a little bit biased still to more benefit in the ER-negative patients. The difference begins to be obscured by the addition of things that are effective in both groups.
What else was presented there that you think is important for the clinicians to know about?
I will say that the same kind of thing was seen for the question about the addition of anthracyclines. And there was an analysis of high-dose therapy, you know, the old bone marrow transplant trials. That really caused a lot of debate. And one of the things is that it wasn't clear, well, there were some of the trials that the data was not in yet for that are important. In those analyses, although there was a lot of missing ER data that's still to come in, the data that they had on the bone marrow transplant studies suggested that there was a little bit of benefit in terms of the effect of the therapy on recurrence. It wasn't clear that that was a big impact on overall survival, however, because of course, the issues, at least in part, of the toxicity of the regimens. But those analyses might be considered particularly preliminary because data was missing. And I don't think anybody derived any definite conclusions about them. But it'll be interesting to see where those end up.